Now, the Buddha's solution of this problem was, in a way, very simple, or at least apparently simple. And he stated his solution of this problem. He flung, as it were, this slender bridge across the gulf between the enlightened mind and the unenlightened in the form of what we know in Buddhism as the law or the principle or the truth of conditionality. This was the nexus, the link, the connection. And it's stated in the Buddhist scriptures very briefly, very simply, perhaps we can say with deceptive brevity and deceptive simplicity, but genius very often is nothing if not simple, stated as, whatever arises on any plane of existence arises in dependence on conditions, and in the absence of those conditions ceases. And according to Buddhism, according to the Buddha's teaching, this law governs the whole of the universe on all planes whatsoever, on what we call the sensuous plane, the archetypal plane, the spiritual plane. This great law governs the whole universe, all these planes in all their aspects, not only physical but psychological, not only psychological but spiritual. And this principle, or this statement of this truth, we may say, constitutes the basis of the whole teaching of the Buddha, this law or truth or principle of universal conditionality. For teacher Sammutpada. Now, to us nowadays, this sounds familiar. It has a familiar ring. It sounds almost ordinary. But in the Buddha's day, when most people believed in divine, miraculous intervention, eruptions of the supernatural into ordinary life, in the Buddha's day, this sort of idea, this sort of concept of universal conditionality was absolutely revolutionary. It literally created a revolution in Indian thought, in Indian psychology, in Indian spiritual life. We might even go so far as to say that a concept of this sort of universal conditionality, of conditionality governing every level and aspect of human life, was revolutionary even in this country 100 years ago, when Darwin, for instance, applied this idea to the question of the origin of species. When he propounded his theory of evolution, many people found it very difficult to accept. It was revolutionary in those days. It was revolutionary, we may say, in the West, even 60 years ago, when Freud applied this principle, or an application of it, to the workings of the subconscious mind. People used to think that things just sort of popped up into your mind. They weren't interested before that in the why and the wherefore of it, until Freud applied certain laws, or discovered or formulated certain laws, and found conditionality working all the time at that level. And we may even go so far as to say that this concept of universal conditionality is a revolutionary one even today, as applied to the higher religious and spiritual life. We tend to think that on those planes things just happen by chance, as it were, by a fluke. You have a sort of mystical experience, and well, that's that. You don't know how it comes, you don't know how it goes, you've no control over it. But Buddhism says no, a law is at work there, a law of conditionality. The experience arises in dependence on certain conditions. It ceases when those conditions are no longer there. So this great principle, which was new, was revolutionary, even in the West until very recently, was expounded, was explained by the Buddha as the law of conditionality, or dependent origination, or conditioned co-production. These are alternative translations. And he also explained, expounded the two forms, or two types, or two trends in this great law of conditionality. And these are known as the reactive trend or type and the progressive trend or type of conditionality. We also speak in terms of the cyclical mode and the spiral mode.